Well, friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been driving or been with somebody who's driving and experienced the default mode? It's where you're going along and you think that you have to like go to the store, but somehow your car drives itself home, and when you end up parking, you wake up and go, dang it, why did I drive home? I needed to go to the store. Anybody ever have that? Yeah, right? We all do it. We've all done it. See, we have all these defaults that we fall back into with various things, and the only way to not experience that is diligence and really concentrating your way through it. And I know that for me, there are certain defaults that I fall into when reading the Bible. And one of them is reading the Bible as if it were a single book by a single author with a single understanding of things. See, the Bible is wonderfully complex. And it has, it's a wonderfully complex book with different and sometimes competing understandings of God and the world and how we should live. And navigating it, it can be tricky, but we find the right way by relying on Jesus. He is the last word that interprets every other word. So in the New Testament, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says a specific formulaic phrase. You have heard it said, but I say to you. You have heard it said, you shall not murder. But I say to you that if you are angry with your brother or sister, you're liable to judgment. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, anyone who looks at another with lust has already committed adultery in their heart. Jesus is basically saying, others have interpreted God's word to mean this, but I interpret it differently, and here's how it should be. So in our scripture reading today, Jesus reinterprets what it means to be blessed. Because what's taught in our first reading about being blessed is different than what's taught in our second reading about being blessed. In our reading from the Old Testament, God says to Abram, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And God is saying God is going to give to Abraham wealth, fame, land, children. Every physical thing that someone could want, God is elevating his place and status in the world. In the Old Testament, God's blessing is manifest as human prosperity and well-being. God's blessing in the Old Testament looks like long life, wealth, peace, good harvest, victory in battle, children, health. And in fact, Genesis 24 actually lists blessing. Abraham and Sarah's servant is talking about, she's speaking, and she says, the Lord has blessed my master abundantly. He has become wealthy. God has given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, male and female, slaves and camels and donkeys. And my master's wife, Sarah, has borne him a son in her old age, and God has given him everything he owns. What we call success and luck, the Old Testament, it calls blessing. God is alone is the source of all good luck and prosperity and material blessings. These things are actually tangible expressions of God's benevolence. And so if you have these blessings, then you clearly have God's favor. And I think we can all immediately recognize the problem with this understanding of blessing, right? I mean, this kind of blessing, it means that if you have wealth, if you have food and children and material fortune, then God is on your side. But if you're poor or sick or without children or without a home or you've lost a spouse or a child, well, then you're cursed by God. Friends, when you turn on the TV and you go and watch a televangelist, almost all of them are preaching this. You have heard it said, blessing looks like success. But Jesus says that that's not actually what blessing is. And before I go any further with this, I want to make something very, very clear. Whatever we have, no matter how great or how humble, we are to receive this as a gift from God. The letter to James, it says, every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. It's when we start playing the game of more fortune equals more favor that we get into trouble. So then how does Jesus reinterpret blessing? In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, being blessed is totally different than the way that the people of the Old Testament understood it. And Jesus is trying to show what it means for us to be blessed in this new world order that is the kingdom of God. So instead of long life, wealth, good harvest, victory in battle, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Whoa, that's so much different. See, Jesus is teaching that the social reordering of the kingdom of God is different than the conventional wisdom of the day. Poor in spirit means that you live without a need for your own self-righteousness, without a need for your own reputation to be good. The word that Matthew uses for poor, it literally means the empty ones or those who are crouched down low. Richard Rohr, he says, these are the bent over beggars, the little nobodies of this world who have nothing, who aren't self-preoccupied or full of themselves in any way. See, if you're poor in spirit, you won't waste your life trying to make yourself happy with wealth because you know better. See, the higher up you go in any organization or group, the more you actually have to toe the party line. Part of the reason I'd never want to be bishop. See, the more the group that gives you perks, the more you get deeply ingrained into the system of material blessings, the more you step outside of the getting rich in everybody else's eyes with money or fame or anything else, the freer you are. See, the poor in spirit, they don't have to play any competitive games. They are not preoccupied with winning. And Jesus says, yours is the kingdom of heaven, not yours will be the kingdom of heaven. It is theirs in being poor in spirit. See, to be in the kingdom is to shirk status and wealth and to empty yourself. And in that, is blessedness. And Jesus also teaches, blessed are the meek. And we often confuse meek with being mousy or weak or shy or timid or afraid. But being meek actually means something like having power and strength and the upper hand, but refusing to use it for yourself. In Abraham's day, they would have seen the use of power and strength and wealth for themselves as good stewardship of what God had given them, that God had blessed them with. God's blessings are meant to be used, conventional wisdom says. But Jesus' teaching is that the blessing comes in not using them and only using them for others. See, when you have power and you have status and you have wealth and you don't use it for yourself, you actually become more aware of how power and status and wealth is misused in the world. See, the new world order that Jesus is showing people is one where those with power only use it for the benefit of others. And Jesus seems to be calling his followers who practice meekness to a life that appears foolish and misguided. But those who live this way, they're blessed because God fights on their side. See, in meekness is blessing. And Jesus goes on to teach, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and the merciful and the pure in heart and the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you on Jesus' account. This is exactly the opposite of the Old Testament understanding of how Abraham received land and children and protection. Jesus is toppling over the conventional wisdom of his day. See, blessing for Jesus is experiencing the upside-down kingdom of God where the person is in relationship to God, giving up of yourself, your own power, your own ambitions, your own will for the world, and allowing the pure grace that is God's kingdom to invade your life. And you will only experience the kingdom blessing in moments where you are poor in heart or meek, when you're a peacemaker, when you're persecuted for doing what's right. See, the Beatitudes show us the blessed ones are those who live this life with no social payoff from their community, with no payoff to their own ego. In there is blessedness. In there is God's favor. They give up everything for God. There's this story in the New Testament where a man who obeyed the laws, he tried to be religious, and he had status, and he had wealth, all of the conventional Old Testament blessings. And he asked Jesus, he says, "Teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?" And so Jesus, he talks to him for a while, and he kind of gets the lay of the guy's land, and then he says, "Sell your possessions and give everything to the poor, and then come follow me." And when the young man heard Jesus' instruction, he went away grieving, for he had many things. Oh, right? That hurts. See, when we have a lot, and friends, by the very fact that you live in the East Bay in the United States of America, one of the richest countries in the world, where the poor among us are still in the top echelon of society compared to the world, we have a lot. Even the poorest in this room has a lot. See, when we have a lot, we have a more difficult time experiencing the true blessing of God because we are caught in the old world order. We have to get out of this default mode. Jesus is trying to show us where we can experience blessing. And so he teaches, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you for Jesus' sake. Friends, it's only in these things, not in success or status or material goods, that we will see God. And there is the true blessing. There is God's favor on us. Amen.